That Don't Sound Right is a podcast about talking. Talking the way we did before the internet, when you could not prove anyone right or wrong.
All the expertise was contained in the people involved with the conversation. I'm Peter.
I'm Cecil. And I hope you enjoy our conversations. And as you listen, if you find yourself silently saying, "That don't sound right," send us a comment. You're one of us.
Welcome back to another episode of That Don't Sound Right, a podcast about talking. We're your co-hosts. I'm Peter Bielman.
And I'm Cecil Davis.
And you know, we're just trying to have a conversation without Google or fact-checking online. Those things just tend to kill the conversation.
They do, Peter. I don't have a single example tonight of how that kills the conversation.
We are going to have a really good example tonight because I'd like to welcome our special guest, David Bryant. Welcome to the show.
Thank you all for having me. It's good to be here.
So one of the reasons he is here is he's the official haberdasher of the That Don't Sound Right.
But again, you have to help me with haberdasher.
Haberdasher?
Yeah.
That's a hat maker.
Is it just a hat maker? For some reason, I thought it was also just a clothier and someone who helps you get dressed up.
He's nicely. A hat deliverer.
I am the
conduit.
I'm the conduit that delivered the hat. The hats were not made by me.
So at the Ardmore Rod today, we got lots of comments on the hats. My wife got a comment on her hat. I got comments on the hats. So
we gave away some hats.
They are good looking hats.
They are good looking hats.
They're actually good wearing hats, too.
They are. The Richardson 112 is a fine hat.
Is that right? Well, you would really know your hats.
Well, I know that one.
So, in addition to being the official haberdasher, he is also my cousin, my dad's older sister's youngest son.
All right.
So, and, we've been cousins for, you know, probably since birth, I guess.
Yeah, 52 years. Yeah.
So, question is this, David, have you been a part of any kind of pranks?
I have not. I have been coincidental to some pranks.
Prank adjacent at best.
That's by choice, isn't it?
That is by choice. If anything was going on, I wasn't there at the time. I may have seen or heard things later after the fact. I am not responsible for any pranks.
I hear that it's very important to establish your innocence amongst these pranks.
As you did.
For sure.
Now, we have him here for more than just the fact that he's my cousin. Here's the reason. So your mama has a book in her house where people can sign in, like a guest book.
That is accurate.
And I was there one time, and I read a story that was in that book. And there's few things that can happen to me in writing, in the written form, that can make you laugh out loud.
Right.
But David's retelling of taking care of his mom and dad's garden for a week is possibly one of the funniest things I have read in my life. I mean, it made me laugh out loud.
All right.
So he is here tonight to tell us a story. As a follow-up to our rodeo episode last week.
Right.
And so,
we're not going to talk about the garden.
No, we're going to talk to the garden. I'm just saying
that's a whole other story.
I'm just saying he has a talent for the written and spoken word that is rare.
But last week, we really zeroed in on bull riding.
Yes.
And why in the world, of all the rodeo sports there are, we kind of made connections to the real life, but we couldn't make a connection. Well, I made a connection.
You made a connection.
I made a connection. We'll see we'll see what David thinks, right?
Do you think there's a real life connection?
I think the real life connection would be, you start with getting the horses, breaking horses.
Yep.
And I would guess that it was mainly men that were doing that job.
Okay.
And what do men do? They compete.
Sure.
They ramp it up.
Okay.
They find the next thing.
Ah, all right. So you think this is level up?
That's exactly what I think.
Interesting.
You can ride that horse. Can you ride that bull?
I can see
this. This would 100% happen among all of our cousins if this were to occur.
Without a doubt. Absolutely,
yeah.
It would happen.
Yeah. We were telling the story earlier. My brother and I were wandering through a field one time and stumbled upon a horseshoe pit.
Okay.
And it started out as a friendly game of just tossing horseshoes back and forth until one of us hit a ringer. Then it became a full-on life and death competition. All right, so you have the story we need you to recount tonight is about, I've already gotten it wrong, it's about cowboy...
Pinball.
So this takes place at a rodeo.
At a bull riding. Bull riding.
Okay. You know that one of the only bull riding events I've been to, I went to with your brother, Chip.
Really?
Yep. We went to Bull Riders Only together in Asheville.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, you take it over.
There, at one point, there was an annual bull riding event in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Greenwood,
all right. South Carolina. And we had made it sort of a annual trip. We were going to the bull riding. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you don't have any of the other stuff. It's strictly bull riding. And one year, my brothers, Clay and Scott, and our families were all at the bull riding. And they called for any volunteers that were interested in playing cowboy pinball.
Oh, my head.
So this is where you say, or maybe you don't say that don't sound right yet until you find out what.
Yeah. What is cowboy pinball?
Cowboy pinball is they take a sack of flour and they draw circles out in the arena.
Okay.
They get volunteers to stand in those circles, and they cut a bull loose. And the last one standing inside of his circle wins.
Oh, that don't sound right. Oh, so each person has their own individual
circle? Everybody has their own
individual. Oh, so the bull's going bouncing off. Oh, yes. That makes sense now.
Okay. How many people are in the arena at that point?
I can ballpark it. It may have been 20, maybe.
Oh, my head. That's a lot of pinball.
Well, they it seems like there may have been a cash prize, you know.
How high was this? It had to be high.
$100 maybe, give or take. Not enough to get hit by a bull, gored by a bull, stuck by a bull.
That don't seem enough.
Well, it does get better.
Okay.
So they called for volunteers, and of course, we all went down and volunteered. When they
So you and your brothers?
Yes, all three of us. Oh, all my. Three of us.
Was your mom at this?
My mother was not at this.
Okay, she probably would not have approved to have.
I can't imagine her.
Yeah, it's like sending all three sons off to war at once, and they're all going to the same place.
Yeah, it was.
She would not be happy.
I can't imagine her standing by silently as we did this. I can't imagine that. So we all three went down, got in line, and you know, you get to pick your spot by where you are in line.
Oh, okay.
So we get in line, and my brother Scott, he's standing there, and he's surveying the crowd. We're probably halfway or a little more back, so, you know,
okay.
Spots are going to be gone by the time we
get
our
spots. Some of the
good
ones are going to be gone.
So he says, I don't care what happens. I'm not leaving first. I am not leaving this ring first.
First. So the line was drawn. First is not acceptable.
He is not leaving first. So they let us go. Everybody runs and gets in their spot. And, you know, I pick a spot that seems to me to be the furthest away from the bull that I can get.
So you know where the bull is.
You can see the bull in the chute.
Okay.
So most of us could see the bull in the chute.
What's going on in your heart?
Well,
and then in your mind, what are the feelings there?
What was going on in my mind immediately was why Scott went to the spot directly in front of the gate where the bull.
That is an excellent question.
So I'm standing, surveying the crowd, and I'm watching him, and he's looking like he has all the confidence in the world.
So he's really figured this out, and he feels like he does have the best spot.
Well, he had his back to the bull. He didn't know the bull was standing right behind him.
He didn't know.
And at a certain point, he realized that everybody else in the ring was facing him.
Yeah.
And he turned around and saw the bull and dropped his head. And so he's standing within 10 feet less of the chute where the bull's coming out.
Oh, man.
So they throw the gate.
All right.
And the bull did not come towards him.
Really?
He was not the first one to leave.
Wow.
He wasn't. He stood there. The gate came open. The bull kind of went away from him.
Okay.
And people began to scatter, as people would do if a bull was coming.
So the bull did eventually charge people, or did
immediately charged everyone right through the middle.
Okay, all right.
Yes. The bull did what bulls do. He chased after people.
Oh, my.
So people are going everywhere. The bull came my direction.
Yeah?
And you know, I'm on a hair trigger.
Did you hold fast?
I did hold fast. He dipped his head towards me. And my mainspring almost came unwound, but I held my ground.
So what was your strategy?
to leave when the bull came to where I was.
Is that right?
That's as far as it went.
You were not trying to get bigger to make yourself look more intimidating? You weren't trying to scare the bull away?
You're not going to tip a cow. You're not going to scare
a bull. Oh, come on now. Come on. That is still debatable. So you're saying now, not only are you saying that I can't tip a cow, I can't intimidate a bull.
I'd like to see it. If you're going to do it, let me know, and I'll be there to watch.
I like the sound of this. Sounds like a challenge.
It does. It is.
I don't know which is more scary, me trying to intimidate a cow or Cecil getting up and doing stand-up again.
I would do stand-up again.
Yeah, but it's scary, though, right?
There's a fear factor there.
Yeah, which is more, what do you think is more scarier?
A bull?
Staring down a bull, or?
I'd take the comedy every day.
Is that right? Okay.
At this point, I may also, because that was 20 years ago, and I still had some spring in my step.
So the bull came at you?
The bull came at me, and he dipped his head, but then he went the other way. He went back towards some other people.
What was it thinking?
I was just trying to stay as long as I could, as long as was prudent.
What was your stance like? Were you like in like a runner stance, ready to bolt? Were you just...
I was pretty much just standing as still as I could, not moving. And when he dipped his head at me, like I said, my mainspring was wound, but I didn't go, and he went the other way.
Was this a kind of a Jurassic Park kind of thing? If you stay still, they can't see you?
I don't have any experience with bulls myself.
Well, you do now.
I have that much experience. At that point, all I knew was to stay away from them.
All right.
So he circled around. He ran through some other people, and he turned and came back my way. This time, he dipped his head at somebody else.
Okay.
Which to me said, he ain't going for them.
Right.
He's coming for me.
That's right. You picked up on the pattern.
That's exactly what he did.
Oh.
And when he did, I went the other way.
Okay.
And they, you know, once you're out of your circle,
game's over.
You're out.
You might as well climb the fence.
It's time to break camp. It's time to go.
Is that what happens? You have to climb the fence?
You have to get away from the bull. There's no reason to hang around inside the fence anymore.
No, I'm saying, how do you get out of the ring?
Yeah, you go over the
ring. Go over the fence. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
This is not like Hunger Games where they leave you in there and last person standing.
It is not.
Okay.
No. So at this point, when you leave, how many people are still there?
I'd say about half the field was gone, maybe more.
Is Scott still there?
Scott was still
there. This is so exciting. This is so exciting. So you leave, about more than half the field is gone, but Scott is still there. What about your other brother?
Scott was still there. Clay, I believe Clay had gone at that point. I got to the fence, and when I looked back, Scott was still there. I went over the fence, and when I looked back, Scott was gone.
Okay.
Well, as it turns out,
yeah,
Scott left in not too glorious a fashion.
Oh, no.
He was nudged by the bull.
Ooh. Oh, he actually made contact.
He did. The bull got a horn in him, his calf.
Literally, he got gored?
He did not get gored.
Okay,
horns were cut off to about a quarter size, and he had a perfect quarter size bruise on his calf.
That's exciting. Right.
Where the bull got him and flipped him.
Oh, yeah. No way.
Yes.
Well, he got his money's worth out of this one. He didn't. Was not the first. And he made how many other people got hit by the bull, would you say?
In the end, there were three guys that were left in the ring, and nothing they could do would convince the bull to go their way. Those three guys were in their circles, and they could not get the bull over there. So they took the bag. I don't remember if they already had something tied to the bull's head.
Mm-hmm.
I would think they probably did. And they told those three guys, whoever got the bag off the bull's head got the money.
Oh, man. That's leveling up.
Well, one of them, he didn't want nothing to do with the bull. He never got close enough to touch the bull. One of them, you know, he got close enough to run from the bull.
Okay.
And the third guy, he probably got flipped two or three times. He was trying to get
that bag. He was really trying to get it.
And ultimately, they did give the prize to him.
Okay.
When they called it off, no one had got the bag.
Right.
And, you know, he was just leaving. He was walking out, and they called him back and said, yeah, you get the prize.
Okay. Wow. I guess if you get flipped three times, that's prize worthy.
Pretty much all they're trying to do is entertain people between the riding. They have, you know, one round, and they do, you know, something like that. Another round, they do something else.
This is a bit different than Dizzy Bat, which they play between innings at minor league baseball games.
Right. Yeah. Now, the thing I'd heard at radios was the Cowboy Poker, I think.
Yes.
And that's where they set up a card table.
Yes.
So let's hear about this one.
Well, have you done this?
I've not done that.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it.
Okay.
I have not participated.
Do you know what this is?
Poker.
Do you know what Cowboy Poker is?
Tell me.
They set up a card table, and four men sitting at the table with their hands on the table, and a bull loose in the ring.
Oh, that's exciting.
Last one still in his chair wins Cowboy Poker.
Oh, man.
And I've seen it on TV. I've not seen this one in person, but people and chairs and tables go flying everywhere.
Did you have to sign anything before you went in there?
It seems like we did have to sign something. I'm sure we did. I can't imagine not having to sign something
before you go into a room.
It didn't really matter. I mean, we were, you know, it's Greenwood on a Saturday night.
Right.
You play cowboy pinball.
Hey, I can imagine that unless you've been to rodeo, this doesn't sound right to a lot of people, that you would actually be in a ring with a bull. I think when Chip and I were there, they did something like that. Either it wasn't pinball, but I think they did the poker thing.
It's one of those things that it made sense at the time. It makes less sense now.
I think there was a field at Granddaddy's that had a bull in it at one point. That it was kind of one of those situations that the bull could cross. Well, you remember the bull can cross the field in 12 seconds. Make sure you can do it in 11.
That is exactly right.
Did I say that right? You're looking at me like a...
Yeah, but I'm wondering if we're going back to the 8-second rule and riding the bull, or if this has something to do with
it. Well, we had a big question, why do you have to stay on the bull for 8 seconds?
What's the magic on the 8 seconds?
That I do not know, unless that was just, you know, how long seemed like a good time.
So how long do you feel like you stood in your circle? Are we talking minutes or are we talking seconds?
Well, you know, time kind of got away from
it. It definitely is compressed.
When the bull first came loose... you know, it was it seemed like forever before he came to my side of the ring, which was probably 30 seconds.
Okay.
And then once he, you know, dipped his head at me and I didn't leave, then you have adrenaline.
Right.
And you know, time kinda.
It's pretty remarkable that you could equate to he dips his head at me, he's not coming after me. He dips his head at somebody else. He might be coming after me.
Well, I can't remember exactly why I didn't run the first time when he dipped his head at me, but obviously...
Why I was wondering what your stance was. You getting all bowed up, or you're just thinking...
I can assure you I was not bowed up. I understand the difference between a me and a bull.
So, was it all guys of a certain age in there, or were there any women?
There were no women. It was...
Which says something right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, we ain't got no sense. it was all men, and they were probably all between the age of, you know, early 20s to mid-30s, give or take.
How old were you at the time?
It was 20 years ago. It was 2001 or two, so I was 30.
Okay.
31, somewhere.
You really should have known better by then, right?
I definitely should have known better.
So the question is, would you do this? 20 years. Let's say it's 20 years
ago. 20 years ago.
Would you do it?
Let's see.
I don't think I think 20 years ago, especially if I'd been with y'all, I think I would have gone.
Oh, you would have definitely.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like if I'm in the stand with my wife and my 1-year-old child, I'm not going to stand in a bull ring by myself.
Yeah.
Now, but I'm with a bunch of guys. Like if I were with you guys, I would have gone in there.
Goes back to how bull riding came around.
That's right.
That's exactly
how bull riding.
Can you ride that bull over there?
I think I can. I think I can too. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, if you stay on it for 8 seconds.
But there's something about being simultaneously stupid.
What, as a group?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the group. Yeah, group going down as a group and doing something. But going out that, like, would you have done it if just one circle?
If it was just me
just
in
you.
The one circle?
We're going to do this one person at a time.
That's it.
Whoever can stay in the circle longest
wins. Well, again, I think if I'm there with a group and then we're saying who can stay in there longest, I think you go down. I think you absolutely go down. You have to go down.
Because there's a bit of strength in numbers. Like everyone's in their own circle at once.
Yep.
Like, I'm not going to be the first, just like your brother wisely predicted.
I would like to have been there when Scott turned around and saw that he was. That was, and I'm assuming the bull was not happy.
He didn't seem too pleased. Right. He seemed like he was there against his will.
Yeah, I wonder how they made him angry. Why are bulls so angry most of the time, especially when it comes to something like this? Or even like when you're out in the field.
Yeah.
They're always kind of told, stay away from the bull. Although I've been around cows and bulls, and they haven't really bothered me. But,
well, the livestock at a rodeo, they do have a strap that they run across their belly, and when they cinch it up, I understand it's not comfortable.
All right, makes it a little grumpy.
Mm. So is this one strapped too?
I really don't know. Huh. He seemed ill enough. His name was Stone Cold.
Oh, was it?
It was Stone Cold.
Yeah. So the Bull Riders Only is coming here to Winston soon. I saw.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm, it is.
Over at. The thing is at the Coliseum?
Oh, I'll know where it is.
We talked about maybe going and doing a live episode.
From a radio.
At least grabbing some highlights. And that, I wonder if they'll play ping pong. I mean, pinball.
Pinball. I don't know.
Pinball.
Yeah. Rodeo's got
ping pong is when you have two bulls.
They volley the cowboy back and forth.
That's right.
Rodeo's a pretty unique environment. Like, it's a pretty unique environment.
Well, how do you mean?
Just because, like I was telling you in the last episode, there's a lot of tradition to it, I think, that still is still there. So, yeah, it's just pretty unique. And then you got stuff like this where you're endangering your spectators.
You think they could do that? Do you think they do this anymore?
They do.
Yeah.
But you really think they still do?
So, absolutely.
I mean, there seems like, in our litigious environment that we live in these days, I would have thought that anything organized, we're not having anything to do with something
I bet they would still do it.
Yeah.
We'll have to look it up on YouTube.
Yeah.
We'll have to see if they still have. I bet you there's...
The weirdest thing I've seen like this in recent memory, and I'm surprised they're allowed to do this, is that our minor league game here at the Dash. So that's the name of it. So it's Winston Dash Salem. That's why we have the Dash. That's where it comes from. Is they take babies down on the field. The moms take babies down the field, and they squeeze lemon juice into their mouth, and whoever makes the worst face wins. Have you not seen this?
I have not seen this.
At the Dash? You're just sitting up in the stand going, this can't be real. And it is.
Really?
So, yeah, they take babies down there, and whoever's baby makes the worst face, the mom wins a T-shirt or something.
I've never heard of that.
Wow. And you win a T-shirt for that one.
Yeah. So, well, it don't sound right. Nothing about this episode sounded right.
Don't sound right about this.
Yeah. But you have come to the end of another. That don't sound right.
Hey, before we close, we want to thank everyone for listening. If this is your first time and enjoyed the conversation, would you consider hitting the subscribe button on the platform you listen with? Also, if you're a longtime listener, please give us a rating. Leave us a review so others can find us and join the conversation.
I want to thank everybody who came out to the RAW and came by the booth, and thank you for coming to the RAW.
Absolutely.
That was fantastic. Thanks for the story, man.
Yeah.
We'll have to come have to have you back on for the taking care of your parents' vegetable garden story.
I'd love to be here.
Words of wisdom, I think, are self-evident in this. Do we need to say, stay away from the bull?
Yes, don't go in a ring with the bull. Last week we said don't bull ride. Now we're just saying stay away.
Yeah, don't mess with bulls.
You mess with the bull, you get the horn.
That's right. All right. Does Scott still have any type of scar from this?
Emotional
scars. All right. Our advertiser is Wonderfully Made Designs, which is a small business specializing in custom-made T-shirts, which were very popular at the race. And decals, contact Casey on Facebook at Wonderfully Made Designs 139.14. Use TDSR10 as a code to get 10% off your first order. That Don't Sound Right is a production of TDSR Podcast in conjunction with Camel City Studios. I am your co-host and sound engineer, Cecil. Peter is your other host and your web designer. Camille is your part-time barista. Emily is your graphic designer. Ella does our Instagram. Giorgio tests our merchandise. Brent is our international brand ambassador. You're welcome to say this part with us. And as always, listener number one is Scott. So until next week, keep talking.
And stay curious.